Good day, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Bufab's Q1 2022 results call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be a question and answer session. To ask a question, you will need to press star one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Please be advised today's conference is being recorded. I will now hand the call over to your speaker today, Johan Lindqvist. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Welcome everybody to the Q1 presentation of Bufab. In this call it's me, Johan Lindqvist, CEO of Bufab, and also Marcus Söderberg, the CFO of Bufab. Let's start then. We of course very satisfied with the results. Continued strong growth and earnings in still an uncertain world. Once again, we achieved the highest ever quarter results, and of course, that's very satisfying. We also have reported the highest sales, operating profit, and earnings per share ever for the single quarter. We see continued strong demand in the first quarter across all the segments in Bufab. The organic growth is up at 21%, driven off the continued strong underlying demand, price increases, and improved market share. It's also really nice to see the order intake is above the sales. We have a stable gross margin despite continued challenges in the supply chain. We slightly increase the share of operating expenses, but it is regarding a discontinuation of the Bufab Russian operations, remeasured additional purchase considerations, and also acquisition costs. Despite this, strong improvement of EBITDA +37% and a net profit +39%. During this quarter, we've done two, you can say, big acquisitions, Pye-Bolt in Denmark and also TIMCO, the biggest acquisition ever in Bufab history in the U.K., and that's adding approximately 920 million Swedish crowns to our turnover. During this quarter, we also, the board of directors appointed Erik Lundén as the new President and CEO of Bufab. He will join Bufab after a holiday mid of August this year. Now I hand it over to Marcus to talk about the financials for the group.
Thank you, Johan. We turn to page number two, which shows the financial highlights for the group, just like Johan said. If we start to look at net sales for the quarter, you can see that we grew with approximately 41%, but still, order intake was in excess of net sales, which is of course good, going forward. The total growth of 41%, if you divide it down, approximately 21% came from organic growth. Gross profit, as you can see, stable 28%, compared to 27.9% previous, or in the comparable quarter. This is of course a stable gross margin in times like this is of course a proof that we have been successful in pushing over cost increases for raw materials and transportation costs over to customers. So we continue to do that in a good way, meaning a stable gross margin. Operating expenses, as you can see in proportion of net sales, increased with almost 0.5 percentage points. All of that is due to extra cost, you can say, taken in the quarter, 50 million SEK for the discontinuation of our Russian operation. Approximately 50 million SEK corresponds to remeasured additional purchase consideration connected to the acquisition of American Bolt & Screw, who has had a significantly better development than estimated in the first place. On top of that, acquisition cost in connection with the two acquisitions that Johan just talked about, Pye-Bolt in Denmark and TIMCO in U.K. All of this summarizes in significantly improved EBITDA in absolute figures, 243 million compared to 177 previous year, increase of 37%. If you were about to adjust for the three cost items just mentioned, cost for discontinuation of Russia, remeasured additional purchase consideration and acquisition costs, the operating profit would be slightly above 280 million, meaning an increase versus the comparable quarter of approximately 59%. Most of the result generated, or basically all of it, falls down to earnings per share as well, which increased with 39% compared to the comparable quarter. If you look on the right graph, in the right table, you can see our EBITDA bridge, and you can see that currency, positive currency effects added approximately 6 million SEK to EBITDA. Volume added approximately 46 million SEK, and the net of cost, price mix, and other were positive with 19 million SEK, and acquisitions, including the remeasured additional purchase consideration and the acquisition costs, had a negative impact of net minus 5 million SEK, meaning that the underlying development of the acquisitions were quite good, and they contributed well during the quarter if you exclude the cost for remeasured additional purchase consideration or acquisitions costs. With that, we turn to page number 3, and we'll have a look at the two graphs showing quarterly net sales growth and net sales and EBITDA development longing 12 months. And we start with the left graph. Here we can see that we continue showing really strong growth figures, as said, 41%, and we have now seen year-on-year growth for 7 consecutive quarters, and not only growth, but also healthy slash strong organic growth, driven, as Johan said earlier, by strong underlying demand, price increases kicking in more and more, becoming a bigger and bigger part of the organic growth, but also due to that, we continue taking market share. If we look at the right graph, you can see that the nice strong trend in earnings development continues for yet another quarter. It's a result of strong growth, of course, together with a stable gross margin and a good operational leverage on the higher volumes, which makes the gray dotted growth especially to continue this very nice trend that we have seen now for 8 consecutive quarters. We turn page to page 4, where we have segment North, and I will just go through the segment figures quickly. But segment North had a good development in the quarter. Organic growth approximately 12%, total growth 16%. Strong demand in general, underlying demand, they continue also to take market share, and price increases is also contributing to the overall growth. Stable gross margin, mainly due to that they have been successful in pushing over costs for increased cost of raw material and transportation to customers, meaning price increases to customers. at the same time, they have had very good cost control, and the operating expenses in proportion of net sales decreased with more than a percentage point, meaning also good operational leverage. And all of all, this generates a very strong EBITDA improvement of 25%, corresponding to a operating margin of 13.1%. We turn page to page number 5 and have a look at segment West. Also, segment West has had a really good development in the quarter. Strong overall growth, mainly due to the acquisition of Jenny Valte, of course, during the fourth quarter of 2021. But they also saw good organic growth, plus 16%. Also here, strong underlying demand and growth also partly driven by push through price increases to customers. We're not happy with the gross margin, however, in segment West. It's down, as you can see, it quite considerably compared to previous year, and the main reason for that is that the segment has not in fully yet been able to compensate for increased raw material and transportation costs. So that will be a focus area going forward. operating expenses, on the other hand, in proportion of net sales, down quite considerably, offsetting more or less the negative impact of a lower gross profit margin, meaning that the operational result had a really nice development in the quarter, and the operating margin was slightly increased as well. We turn page to page number six and have a look at segment East. Also, segment East had a very strong development in the quarter, growth 31%, but very, very high organic growth of 28%. Also, this is driven by strong demand, underlying demand, taking market share, and price increases. Slightly improved gross margin, mainly due to price increases also in this segment. Higher costs, however, quite considerably higher cost, but this is in all explained by the discontinuation cost for the Russian business of 15 million SEK. So if you adjust for that, the cost development in segment East was good or stable. All in all, this generates an operating profit of 36 million SEK, corresponding to an operating margin of 12.7 million SEK. But as I said, adjusted for those 50 million SEK regarding Russia, the segment had a good development also in the first quarter of 2022. So if we turn page to page number seven and look at the last of our segments that we report on, segment UK North America, I guess you can say the overall comment here is that this segment for the quarter is the really shining star. They had a very strong growth, of course, heavily driven by acquisitions. CSG made in end of the third quarter of last year, but also some working days corresponding to the acquisition of Timco. Organic growth, however, was very strong, plus 42%, and it's driven by a very strong market together with successful price increases to customers. And the development is, like last quarter, especially strong in Apex in the UK and American Bolt and Screw in North America. Stable gross margin due to successful work also here with price increases. Slightly higher proportion of operating costs due to remeasured additional purchase consideration, as said, connected to the acquisition of American Bolt and Screw, due to that they have had a significantly better performance, which can also be seen in the figures you look at. Focus going forward for segment UK North America is to continue to capture market share, but also broaden the business and continue to handle the strange supply chains and cost inflation that we see more or less over the line. So we turn to page number eight and have a look at the EBITDA bridge, both for the segments and different items. We start with the left bridge that we talked about. Currencies adding 6 million, volume plus 46 million, price cost mix and other plus 19 million, and acquisitions, as said, together with one-time cost for additional purchase consideration. Acquisition costs minus 5 million SEK. And as you can see on the right part here, you can see that North added 18 million SEK compared to previous year. West plus 15 million SEK, East due to they were hit with those minus 15 million SEK in Russia costs, had a negative overall impact with 3 million SEK, but UK North America had a dramatically strong impact with plus 44 million SEK, and segment other, mainly due to higher acquisition costs compared to previous quarter, had a negative impact of 8 million SEK. With that, I leave the word over to you, Johan, again, to talk about our acquisitions.
Yeah, some more comments about the acquisitions we have done. So if you compare with the same quarter 2021, then we have done five acquisitions then. CSG, the Component Solutions Group, we have Jenn & Valter, we have Tilke & Pajo, Bolte, and Timco. And the last two there done in this quarter is Pajo Bolte that added. And all of them added more or less at least new areas of Bufab to take benefit of. So we see, as always with these acquisitions that we do, big benefits coming in later on here when we have started the cooperation with them more closely with the Bufab company, you can say. So for Pajo Bolte, we see in construction bolts big opportunities for us, especially in the north of Europe, I can say. And in Timco, we have created now a much better platform to continue to grow in the UK. And we think this is a good thing, of course, due to, the Brexit a couple of years ago creating a little bit, let's say, special market in the UK. So we think it's good to have a great platform in the UK to continue to grow there. So all in all, I think we have done a good acquisitions now, and as Marcus mentioned before, some of the acquisitions done before have contributed quite a lot now to the results in this quarter. So that's, of course, really nice to see that. So let's go to the next page, page 10, and do the summary there. The first quarter still operationally challenging due to this supply chain issues, you can say. This COVID in China, there is still a high crisis and a lack of some raw material and components and so on. So that continue, but we have made it really good so far, and I think we can do it also forward. But we also have a strong growth in sales and also profit. That's really nice to see, of course. We have press release before. We closing down our digital business in Russia. You can say once again that all in all, it has been a really successful quarter, I think, for Bufab, and we are very proud of that in Bufab. Outlook then, if we look forward here, we have a higher order intake compared to the net sales. That's at least for now, showing us a good figures for the next quarter also. We will continue to deal with a strained supply chain, as we have done now for, I don't know, last 18 months, something like that, but we do it in a good way. I think we can supply customers very well, even if they have a tough time. Priorities going forward is we would like to go to our customers much more now, since the COVID, at least in Europe and US, is not longer affecting us in that perspective, at least. So hopefully we can go out to see the customers and try to create new great business together with them. Price will still be a big focus here to defend our gross profit and gross margin. So we'll still discuss that with our customers. And of course, we will still also continue to invest in the team and in Bufab operation going forward, because we think it's really important to be more efficient and be more relevant for our customers there. So I think that was all from us. I leave it the word to operators if we have any questions.
Thank you. We'll now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel the request, please press the hash key. So star and one to ask a question. You have a question from the line of Robert Redin of Carnegie. Please ask your question.
Yeah, hi, a couple of questions if I may. So, I mean, that organic growth in UK and North America was super strong, and it was Apex and ABS, you said. But could you say something about any outlook comments there? Are you worried that they are performing now at levels that they won't be able to hold in the next year or two, or is the outlook still positive?
It's of course, hi, Robert. Thank you for this question. Of course, they have a really strong figure right now, and that will be, as always, when you have really strong figures, a challenge to defend, so to say, for the future. But we don't see anything right now. They also have a strong order intake and so on. So we can see today, they will continue with great figures. Then, of course, as we have said in the report also, that it is a strange world right now. Many things can happen and so on. So it's, of course, impossible to promise anything.
And maybe I can add also, as we have written in earlier quarterly reports, Apex is a bit more into the stainless C-part business, which has been very strong, obviously. And American Bolt and Screw is slightly more into the R&V or recreational vehicle industry, which has been very strong basically during the last 1.5 year. So I guess everything depends on the development in those two industries, especially when it comes to those two companies, so to say. But as Johan said, strong order intake in the quarter as well. So it looks to continue for at least a while.
Okay, perfect. And then on TIMCO, I heard you say that, you know, it's an acquisition that fits really well into your sort of ambitions and needs in the UK. Is that how we should view that acquisition, that it's something, you know, that fits well for Bufab's UK ambitions, or is it more a start of something going forward that you would want to acquire companies like TIMCO with a sort of a broader product offering and maybe more into construction?
Regarding TIMCO, it's a couple of good reasons. Of course, from the beginning, it's a really, really great company and profitable and fits in our acquisition strategy, so to say. Number two is that, as I said, creates a big or a good platform, you can say, in the UK. I mean, due to operational or finance or I mean, a lot of these things that we can share in a good way, as we do in Bufab. We try to share good experience and so on. That would be good for the whole team and the group in UK. But also think as TIMCO today is only operating in UK, I think there is opportunities for us to launch their some of the products at least in other Bufab companies, especially maybe across Europe. I think there is opportunity also there to improve their sales, to say, via the Bufab companies in Europe.
Right. Okay. One final question was on price hikes. So I mean, we sort of a while back thought that maybe price hikes was going to be less of a thing this year, but it seems like it's a little bit of a rerun last year. Can you say something about the necessary price hikes going forward that you're now talking to customers about? Something about the magnitude, say, compared to last year?
Yeah, it is also, I mean, as I said about the supply chain, there is, at least right now, it's a little bit of a never-ending story there because it's popping up new challenges. We thought maybe after the COVID that it would be calming down a little bit and go back to some kind of normal situation, but then the Ukraine war come up instead, and that also creates a lot of headache for us, of course. And then we have said from the beginning that we need to defend our profit gross margin, and we will do it also going ahead. But of course, it is a challenge, and we need to continue with that to move these cost increases that we see and price increases also to our customers. But now also we see bigger and bigger in many, or maybe all the countries we are in, bigger inflation, of course, with energy prices, salaries, and all that stuff. So we will need, I think we need to continue with that for at least next coming 6 months, something like that. But we have been so far successful, I think, except in, as Marcus mentioned, West, we are a little bit behind there, but we hopefully we're catching up this quarter. But it is all of the line, I think, the same situation.
All right, perfect. And then anything, I mean, generally speaking, I mean, sales was really strong in Q1. You outgrew the market, taking market share. Still order intake was a bit higher than sales. So could you say something about the trend throughout the quarter? Was order intake strong throughout the quarter? Or
So strong in the quarter. And that's really nice, of course, in these days when it's so uncertain what happens. We feel also, in general, I mean, as I said, we trying now to, at least for visiting customers, now go back to some kind of normal situation that we visit visiting customer and try to get new business on board. So that, I mean, at least for me, it's a good start when you will have try to get more orders, so to say. So if we can increase our activity level at the customer side, hopefully also we can get more business in later on here, even if it's, of course, a time between when you visit the customers and get the order, so to say. But I think we have a good position, but and what we see today, it looks good. I don't know, Mark, if you will add something about that. Or...
No, I think it's basically, just like you say, of course, and as we write in the report as well, I mean, we have seen a strong development trend, net sales-wise, stable gross margin, good earnings, etc., and on top of that, the order intake in the first quarter was strong, in general. So, and in excess of net sales. So based on that, I guess we can at least say that the possibilities for a good development also going forward is there, so to say. But then, like you once said, there is no lack of challenges, and it tends to pop up more and more of those challenges as we go. But we can do much more than just try to handle them, and so far, like you once said, we have been handling them quite good, and we also aim to do that also going forward.
Right, and you haven't seen any, I mean, that order intake, the daily or weekly trends, they've not been slower in the second half of the quarter. Or something.
It's hard for us to draw any conclusions regarding a certain week or so. We need to look at it at least over a couple of months, because it's depending on how customer moves orders and things like that. But so we stay with the comment for the full quarter that order intake was higher than net sales.
All right, sounds very good. Thanks so much. Thanks for the good quarter results.
Yeah.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Guy Thornwill of Pythons. Please ask your question.
Yeah, hi, good morning. I just wanted a bit more detail on Segment West, if possible. So you say you're trying to take some action in terms of increasing gross margin through pricing. Can you give any details about what you have actually done and how those are sticking? I know you just haven't got around to improving the pricing in this area so far. So can you give any sort of quantify what you have done so far in the last 2 or 3 months? Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, as you see on the gross margin there, they have been not so successful as the other segments there. And they are a little bit behind, as I said, there. I mean, we are many companies, plus 50 in the group, and some of them are super good in this area, and some of them not really as good, and need to have some more time for that. And it's also maybe due to what kind of customers you're dealing with. I mean, some of the customers we have maybe contract that we can't do anything about pricing within a half year or something like that. So it's a mix of that, I think. They also had, I think we have also communicated in some reports last year here, that we also strengthened the organization in West. I think they're more and more in place now, so they also can take care of this kind of action, so to say. Because it's people that need to do that, the team need to do that. So I think it is in place, and I'm quite confident that we will see better results here and coming forward.
Okay, when you say strengthen the team, do you mean there were some management changes, or do you mean
giving them more
autonomy?
No, more adding people. There have been a lack of people in some positions. So I will not say we have done any changes in the management in that perspective, more like adding more skilled people, so to say.
Okay. Do you think it's possible to get back to sort of 26% gross margin? Or
Yeah, I think it's definitely our target to do so. Definitely our target, and I think, I mean, if you're just comparing, as I said, there is a little bit difference, of course, between every company and segment, but if you compare the other segment, if they can do it, I think it's possible for West also to do it.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And your next question comes from the line of John Hiltner of Enterfonder. Please ask your question.
Thank you. A question on competitors. Have you noticed any competitors not being able to deliver during these difficult times regarding all supply chain issues? And perhaps you have gained some new customers due to that?
Yeah, that's of course a tricky question in one perspective. But I think at least, it's my feeling, and also what I hear, at least some of the things that I hear in the market, that we so far have been really successful. Of course, we have also struggling and really fighting to supply our customers. But I think we have been more successful than our competitors. That's my this is my opinion, and that of course will maybe already now give us some market share, so to say. But hopefully also even more in the future, because then they see that we are a reliable partner. I think so. I think we have been a little bit better than competitors. That's my view.
Okay. And how, regarding C-parts, how difficult has sourcing been for you?
I think, I mean, I've been here in 24 years now in Bufab, and I've never seen that situation. I mean, it's not only lacking of parts or raw material, it's also higher price increases and also this COVID thing and the Ukraine war. And I mean, you can add a lot of things in this bucket, so to say. So it is really tough, and that may be one of the parts that we see in the operations side now in the group. So we really need fight for this, but we also have dedicated people and the fight for Bufab and have the big Bufab heart, I think, and the right attitude. So that's why I think that is one of the reasons that we can take this market share and be a little bit better than the market. But I also think, you know, we are specialists in this area with CPOS. We're dealing with this, that is our super main business compared to our customers that are dealing with this one. We sell this A, B, C parts, and I mean they take care of the A and B parts and we take care of the C parts. So if they should do it by themselves to have, behind a big customer there's maybe 100 suppliers, 150 suppliers, if they should handle these 150 suppliers by themselves, it would be a total mess, I think, to be honest. So I think we have a big role there to play. And I think we do it, the figures tell us that we do it in a good way.
Mm. And your customers, I know in some cases you are connected to their warehouse systems and you automatically refill some C parts. Have your customers changed in terms of perhaps wanting to have bigger safety margin, so you refill earlier than before, or any other customer you see now?
I think that's a good maybe not the question that way, but I think it's relevant. We have that discussions with many customers that how do we secure this, have higher margins, because it is, if you remember the boat in the Suez Canal, for example, who knows that? And that suddenly creates a lack of components for a couple of weeks or whatever. So then we discuss that question with the customers if we should increase the safety stock in their place, in their warehouse, or maybe in Bufab warehouse. So it's a combination there, I think. But it is definitely a hotter topic today compared to 2 years ago or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And also maybe can add that we maybe also talk with some customers about dual sourcing, so we have separate sources for sourcing for some parts of them.
Okay. And regarding the order intake or your order book, do you have is there a longer lead time than normal in your order book today as customers perhaps place orders for later delivery just to be on the safe side?
Yeah, it depends on customer, you can say. But what you should know when looking at the order intake of Bufab, that's the development of the 3 month order book. That's how we measure order intake, so to say. So if customer place orders more longer in the future, it does not necessarily affect the order intake. And the reason for just looking at the 3 month order book is due to that orders placed later than that are too uncertain, so to say, due to that customers tend to move them back and forth, so to say. So, but it's like you said, due to lead times have increased in general, also customer places orders in order to make sure that they get hold of goods.
Okay, so the order intake you report in the quarterly are referring to orders that are supposed to be delivered within the coming 3 months?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't know that. It's good to know. Final question on the cash flow. When I read the report, it sounds like you're quite disappointed on working capital. But at the same time, it's pretty similar working capital tie-up as Q1 last year. And this year, I assume, is more difficult. And the big item is on the receivable side. Are payment terms the same as before, or do you need to pay suppliers a little bit earlier and don't get compensated by getting paid by your customers at the same time, or is this just normal?
I would say that the payment terms both for suppliers and customers are more or less the same, like during the same quarter previous year, but like that. When it comes to cash flow in general, of course, I guess we can't, you know, really be happy as long as we're not showing strong cash flow, which is something that we have done historically for a very long time. So we're looking forward to coming back to that. But just like you say, I mean, if you look at where the money is tied up in, it's in basically in the core in accounts receivable, which is a result of a very strong growth. So that, I guess, you can say that it is what it is, and as long as customer pays, it will run through and become cash during the coming months, so to say. What's kind of important to maybe mention is that even though we saw weak cash flow now in the first quarter, we also saw it in the fourth quarter last year. But there is a difference between those quarters because the weak cash flow in the fourth quarter of 2020. One was due to inventory buildup, meaning a normalization of inventory levels due to that they were really low in the beginning of 2021. But now then, during the first quarter of 2022, the main net working capital buildup is, just like you said, in accounts receivable. And we hope now that the inventory buildup or the inventory normalization is about to end. So we look forward and hope to see the good cash flow, which is kind of a signal for Bufab to come back, hopefully during the second quarter, but at least during the third quarter.
Could you please remind me of the seasonal pattern of your cash flow?
Sorry?
Could you please remind me of the seasonal pattern of your cash flow? Do you release in Q2 or Q3 typically, or
Normally we have quite an even split. I mean, there is no seasonality in terms of, you know, customer mix or anything like that. So normally it should be pretty even over the full year. There is no certain inventory build up in a certain quarter or anything like that. Historically, it's quite even.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much. That's all for me.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. Once again, it's star and one on your telephone if you wish to ask a question. Your next question comes from Rasmus Enberg of Handelsbanken. Please ask your question.
Yes, hi, good morning, and congratulations on a very solid set of numbers again. I was just wondering about the price issue that you have in Region West. Is that due to some companies you have acquired, or is it that due to, for historical reasons, you're over-dependent on certain large industries there, or how does that come about? And secondly, is it correct in thinking that rather than slowing down, price increases in the second quarter are going very likely to be bigger than in the first quarter with what we know right now? Those are the two questions.
Yeah, I think Johan elaborated. First of all, hello and good morning, Rasmus. I think Johan elaborated a bit on it on one of the previous questions. There is of course several reasons, but the main reason for it being weak in segments West or weaker than the rest of the group is that just like we also write in the report, they have not yet come so far with price increases like the rest of the group, so to say. And there is various reasons for that. No one really explaining the majority part of it, but you know, it's everything from that they have some work left to do, maybe slightly more how do you put it, tougher customers to deal with, etc. But in general, I guess you can put it like this: that I mean, we're for sure not happy with the development in Segment West, but we are yet not really that worried. I mean, the companies have planned, they have their mindset on fixing this, but for various reasons, it has taken them a little bit longer than other segments in the group. It has not to do specifically with any specific company running with a lower gross margin. It's an even split, but some companies are better than others also within the segment. But there are more companies that needs to do the homework in Segment West rather than the other segments.
All right. So it's nothing really structural at all. And then the second question, I mean, the reason for asking is that my gut feeling is that we're facing even more input cost pressure in the second quarter than we did in the first. Is that a correct assumption as far as we can see right now?
I don't know if it will be worse than we have seen before, but just like Johan also said before, new challenges or issues tend to pop up all the time, and you know what, it has been the normal working day for a salesperson is to negotiate and discuss price. It was not like that at all for like 2 years ago, and it's become a part of the daily work, and we have made it in a good way and so far, and we have to do it also going forward. I guess that's the only thing we can say. But what the future brings, who knows? But we are fully, you know, focused on continue pushing price increases over the customers. That's
of course
what we can say.
Yeah, very good. Thanks.
Bye.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Matisse Sarrazin of CMAM. Please ask your question.
Hello. Thank you very much for the presentation and for the results. A few questions on my side. First, on price increases, could you maybe elaborate or give us some colors around the price increase effect on your organic growth during the quarter?
Yeah. Hello, Matti, and good morning. Yeah, of course, that's a very good question, and it's also a very hard question to answer, really, given the fact that we are, you know, selling 180,000 different items to 15,000 customers, and many of those customers buy the same items, so it's hard to keep track on such statistics, so to say. So and that's also why we do not share a certain percentage of the organic growth that comes from price increases. It's too unsure, if you put it like that. But what we know for sure is that as we now go into 2022, price increases becomes a bigger and bigger portion of the total organic growth. But we still see a good underlying demand as well, so to say. So it's the strong growth that you see, organic growth that you see, it's a combination of strong underlying demand. Then I would say after that, price is next. And then we just like you once also said earlier, we continue to take market share. So unfortunately, I can't give you a percentage.
Yeah, no problem. Very clear. Thank you. Second question on the distribution expenses. Can you please comment on the decrease in these expenses? That seems to be quite low, around 8.5% of sales. Is it kind of one-off during the quarter, or do you see the distribution expenses this quarter at a sustainable level as a percentage of sales, or maybe explaining why is it that low? Thank you.
I guess I wouldn't say that there is so much of a change, really. But of course, when you're looking at those kind of costing comparisons to net sales, you need to take into consideration that net sales are more and more impacted by price increases, which is not necessarily, you know, driving distribution costs, right? I guess that's what we can say.
Okay, thank you. And final question on your target, on your margins target. I have in mind 12% margin. It seems that you are quite higher since few quarters now, if we exclude a sort of one-off like this quarter. Do you have any comment on this target? Do you see any maybe risk in the future when we will see a kind of normalization of the economical environment? Or do you consider this 12% are quite conservative? Do you have any comments on that?
Yeah, of course, that's a good question. And I guess if you would have asked us the same question 2 years ago, I would say it's a very challenging but also reasonable target, those 12%. What we have said is that we should reach those 12% long-term from 2023 and onwards, and that the main increase in the operating margin should come from internal efficiency, meaning cost savings and digitalization and things like that. And that's what our existing strategy is focusing on, delivering those 12% stable long-term. But delivering 12% long term could of course mean higher operating margin in one quarter and lower in another, so to say. But right now, I guess you can say that there's a lot of things going in the complete right direction, so to say, causing us also to deliver very strong results, which is of course very satisfying. But whether those 12% should be 13 or 14, of course that's a board question, really. But we're not really focused on that. We're trying to really delivering results, do it over a long period of time, continue growing, and deliver in accordance with our strategy. I guess that's what we can say about that.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. There are no further questions coming through on the line.
Okay. So thank you very much for this press conference or the Q1 report. Thank you very much.
And have a nice day.
Thank you. That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect. Speakers, please stay on the line.